As we stand, let's just bow our heads to pray. Lord, may the words I say, may the thoughts we think, may whatever deeds come from them be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, as I said at the beginning, after this service, after a short gap, we'll be having our annual parochial church meeting. And how that meeting is structured and how it works, what goes on, is all contained in a wonderful document known as the Church Representation Rules. If you're ever struggling to sleep at night, just let me know, I'll send you a copy. They explain the precise order and means of doing things. And they're very un-Anglican. Generally, the Church of England relies on guidelines, not rules. It's much more of an Anglican mishmash. Or, you know, this is maybe what you might like to do, but you don't really have to if it doesn't suit you. I dare say there's some of you who have served at some time or other in a rules-based organisation, maybe the armed forces, the emergency services, or some other similar body. So the precise commands of that parade ground or wherever are very different from the one which Jesus gave to his disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another. It's a short command. It appears to be a simple command, but in fact, it's just the opposite. No command could be less precise. No command could be more difficult to truly fulfill. To complicate matters, there is a condition attached. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I guess there's few people in the services or any other hierarchical situation who would be friends with the one who gave them their orders, let alone expect to love them. But it's fundamental to our understanding of the Christian faith to say that we love Jesus as Jesus in turn loves us. And we need to try and resolve this apparent contradiction. We recognise the command and the many others that Jesus gave his disciples follows established biblical tradition. The whole Bible story unfolds in response to a series of commands. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden with a command not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. When they disobeyed, he ordered them out and commanded them to a life of toil. God commanded Abraham to leave his home and venture into the unknown. God commanded Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt towards the promised land. And on Mount Sinai, God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments, which still lie at the heart of Jewish faith and practice. God called the prophets and commanded them to proclaim his word, despite their misgivings and feelings of inadequacy. Similarly, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, could not believe he would have a son, and the angel commanded he should remain dumb until the birth took place. And finally, maybe, that pivotal moment from which the good news of Christ develops is the appearance of the Archangel Gabriel to Mary. Again, it's the pattern of command and obedience. God has chosen Mary to be the bearer of the one who will be his Messiah. "Let it be with me according to your word," she replies. But of course, we know other qualities are involved. For Mary, love and tenderness for the new life conceived within her. For Joseph, we might surmise a turmoil of conflicting feelings. How was he to find a loving response to this command of God? How do we respond to the command of Jesus to love one another? There's a clue found, I think, in John's first letter. "For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." We can extend this observation further. How can we love the brother or sister whom we may or may not have seen when we don't love ourselves as the person we live with day by day? However contradictory it may seem, we will struggle to love others until we've learned to accept love for ourselves. We might find ourselves difficult to love, painfully aware of our faults and failings, unwilling or unable to extend to ourselves the forgiveness and understanding which, at our best, we do extend to others. Too often we burden ourselves with unattainable targets, unrealistic expectations. We blame ourselves, often unnecessarily, when we are unable, for whatever reason, to achieve them. We may burden ourselves with feelings of guilt and failure. There can be many oughts in life, and sadly and invisibly, our faith may add, not subtract, to that number. But there is hope in today's reading and in these words of Jesus. Jesus does give the command of love, but he also gives a paradigm shift in the way that the kingdom of God operates here on earth. He changes the model gradually from one of obedience to a superior to one of relationship and family. He begins to call us brother and sister and allows us to call God Father. Words so simple to us, so common in the Lord's Prayer, but sheer blasphemy to those who first heard them. This shift in relationship, this paradigm change in the way God's kingdom operates here on earth, is predicated through love. And how are we to respond? By getting really busy. After all, we'll hold our annual meeting shortly. We'll hear of the busyness of so many wonderful people in St. Mary's Church and in our daughter churches too and elsewhere. But that's not Jesus' commandment. Jesus calls us to abide in his love. Abide. To rest. To be. Not to do. We are firstly called to be people who are, not people who do. That might seem contradictory to all that we will hear in our annual meeting and all that we ask of people to step forward and help lead and contribute to the life of our church. But again, it's part of the paradigm shift in the nature of God's kingdom that Christ heralded. First, we are called to abide in God's love. And through that abiding, to bear fruit that will be a blessing for others. Our service, the service we will hear of in our annual meetings, the work that has been done, is first and foremost a response to the love that has already been gifted to each and every one of us, and indeed to all people and all of creation. We do not serve God that God might love us. We serve God because God has already loved us. And it is in that love that we have hope, not just for ourselves, but for all that God has made. It is that love that we celebrate at the heart of this service and our annual meeting. It is that love that we have as good news for God's world. So let us be people who abide, who allow ourselves to receive what is already given, a free gift to all. And let us, in good time, bear fruit that will be a blessing to us, to one another, and all of God's creation. Amen.